The Social Worker's Daughter by Fezzador. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 25. Got your spell on me, baby. Autumn at Hogwarts was in full swing. It was just a few days from Halloween, and the mighty oaks and maples had already begun shedding their brilliant foliage earlier in the month. There was a hint of a chill in the air. Winter was not too far away, and students and faculty began bundling up with scarves and caps, and occasionally even outer garments to protect themselves from the elements. Harry already had a couple of therapy sessions under his belt, and while the main purpose was for Harry to discuss his past life with Madame Trudy Peel, he looked forward to the sessions because he viewed it as an opportunity to learn more about his parents, particularly his mother, whom Madame Trudy had had a personal relationship with prior to the former Lily Evans's death. To Harry, learning about his mother was therapy in and of itself. The pumpkin pasties and pumpkin juices were an added benefit as well. After the second session, Harry started feeling a bit more at ease. He saw Madame Trudy as a trusted confidant, even a grown-up friend, not unlike his relationship with Hagrid. He respected all of his professors, even Professor Snape, but couldn't bring himself to consider any of them a real friend. He really admired Professor Dumbledore, and of all of the faculty, he felt most comfortable around him for some reason. The droll smile, the penchant for sweets, and the twinkle in his eye gave him an almost childlike innocence, but it certainly belied his wisdom and sheer brilliance. He couldn't quite call Dumbledore a friend, mainly because it was just so awkward for a student to be friends with a faculty member, particularly the headmaster, but it was a very positive relationship at least. Harry thought of Dumbledore as the grandfather figure he never really had, the fun kind of grandfather that allows a certain amount of mischief, but also one that he didn't want to disappoint. In fact, one of Harry's biggest fears was letting Dumbledore down. The Monday morning before the Halloween feast, Harry and Hermione visited Lila and her fellow Hufflepuffs at their table. Lila was even more bubbly than usual, as she got a long-awaited reply from her old friend Dawn from the School Owls. She shared the letter with Harry and Hermione so they could see for themselves.
"Dear Lila, it's been ages. I was honestly shocked when I heard from my headmaster that you thought I might be a witch and wanted to reach out to me. I'm glad you did, though. You were my first ever friend, and I will never forget that. How are you liking Hogwarts? I thought about you a lot, even after coming to Snakebinder Academy. I rather enjoy it here, but I'm rather curious about Hogwarts. It seems to be a much larger school with more history. Making friends has always come easy to you, so I'd imagine you have several already. I have a couple, but it's also a small school, so our social groups are rather small. I've attached an updated photo of myself. I know it's not the greatest, but I figured you'd like to show your friends at least. I'm looking forward to your reply. Love, Dawn."
"That was a very nice letter, Lila," Harry said. He looked at the photo of Dawn. "She's got reddish hair and green eyes, rather like my mum. She's very pretty." Hermione took the letter and the photo from Harry and then smiled broadly. "Dawn sounds like a very nice girl, Lila. I'm sorry she's not at Hogwarts with us." She nodded at Harry. "And you're right, she is a pretty girl." "I'll reach back to her this evening," promised Lila. "I don't think I'll have time before class, as we only have a few minutes." She turned to Harry. "Oh, remember what Professor McGonagall said about reaching out to Daphne and Tracy? I think you might want to make a move today. How about right after potions, as you suggested?"
"I suppose that's as good a time as any," replied Harry.
"I know I'll be by myself since I won't have you as backup, but maybe we can try the snake pit sometime after I break the ice." Hermione threw her friends a look of utter disbelief.
"Wait, you're wanting to reach out to Slytherin students? Are you too crazy?"
Lila shot Hermione a look.
"It was Professor McGonagall's idea. She said that she's happy that Gryffindors, Hufflepuffs, and Ravenclaws get along well, but she was hoping that someone could maybe reach out to the Slytherin table. Not everyone there is a prat like Malfoy."
"And why did she ask you two of all people?" Hermione asked.
"Because I was strongly considered for Slytherin," Harry replied. "It's not something I'm proud of, but it's true. I had to practically beg the hat to sort me elsewhere." Both Lila and Hermione's respective jaws dropped.
"There's nothing Slytherin about you, Harry," Lila murmured. "You're too selfless and brave. You were always meant to be a Gryffindor."
"I was almost put into Ravenclaw myself," admitted Hermione.
but Gryffindor seemed like home.
I was strongly considered for Gryffindor myself, said Lila. Ravenclaw a bit as well. Had I wanted Gryffindor just a little bit more, we'd all be housemates.
What made you want Hufflepuff a bit more? Asked Harry.
Lila shrugged. I value friendship and duty just a bit more than bravery, I suppose.
Do you wish you were a Gryffindor? Asked Hermione.
Lila smiled broadly. At times, yes, but at the end of the day, I really think Hufflepuff is the best house for me. Like you said, it feels like home.
Professor McGonagall considers you an honorary Gryffindor, Lila, added Harry. That's got to count for something.
It does, Harry, murmured Lila. But if I'm being honest, I'm getting the best of both worlds. I'm in the house that's the best fit for me, and I also have two terrific friends from Gryffindor that I wouldn't trade for anything in the world.
I hear you, replied Hermione. That's basically how I feel.
That afternoon, the first-year Gryffindors and Slytherins shared potions together. Harry waited until after class to give the students a chance to disperse before hurrying to find Daphne and Tracy. He felt a big lump in his throat, even though Professor McGonagall said that they were fairly amiable for Slytherin students. He was nervous mainly because he was by himself with no backup, but he didn't want to thrust Hermione into doing something that she didn't really feel comfortable doing either, so it was up to him and him alone. Harry speed-walked his way to catch up with Daphne and Tracy in the courtyard.
Hello there, he said, trying to sound as casual as he could.
Daphne arched an eyebrow, somewhat suspicious of Harry.
Can I help you, Potter? She asked, with only the barest hint of interest.
I guess, Harry replied, unsure of how to respond.
I don't see you hanging out with a ton of other Slytherin students, so I thought I'd invite you to either the Gryffindor or Hufflepuff table one of these evenings. Maybe make a couple of new friends.
Daphne and Tracy looked at each other, wondering what to make of this offer.
And why are you asking us?
Tracy asked in a slightly accusatory tone.
Harry shrugged. Because,
he sighed, wanting to choose his next words carefully.
Because I think there are good witches and wizards in Slytherin, and they're worth getting to know. And that you're probably tired of hearing your house slandered by everyone else, I'm hoping that maybe you're open-minded enough to think that not everyone hates or fears Slytherin.
A smirk crossed Daphne's face.
You're absolutely right about that, Potter. All of it, really.
Her smirk broadened into a full smile.
Tell you what, we'll think about it and get back to you sometime, okay?
Going to the Gryffindor table makes me a bit nervous, so it would probably be the Hufflepuff table if we're going to do this.
Harry returned the smile.
Would you rather I joined you at the Slytherin table? Would that make it easier?
Tracy gasped.
You'd actually sit at the Slytherin table? You've got some stones, Potter.
Why not?
Harry answered with a shrug.
I'll do it if that's what it'll take for me to get to know you better.
Daphne smiled again.
I suppose you can stop by for a few minutes this evening. We'll be sitting not too far from the end.
She cocked her head.
Is it going to be just you?
Harry nodded. Yeah, this time it probably should be just me. I don't think my other friends are ready for this. He smiled. I promise I'll play nice.
Tracy returned the smile.
We'll play nice as well. It's just a bit shocking that someone outside of Slytherin wants anything to do with us.
Daphne nodded.
And a Gryffindor at that.
She then looked at Harry with sincerity.
Now, Potter, while Tracy and I find you pleasant, not everyone in Slytherin is going to be as welcoming, but I'm sure you know that already. I just want you to be aware that some students may show their lack of appreciation of your presence, so my advice is to do your best to ignore them.
Her light blue eyes met Harry's green eyes.
It won't be easy, I'm sure, but I also know you're above that. I'll do what I can to secure a seat near a prefect so things don't escalate. Gemma is a very reasonable prefect. She's very fair for a Slytherin and has no love for Malfoy, if that means anything.
Harry grinned.
That'd be terrific, Daphne. May I call you Daphne?
Daphne shrugged, then smiled.
Well, I would have thought that it's a bit premature for us to be on a first-name basis, but I suppose you can call me Daphne.
Harry looked in Daphne's eyes and smiled.
You know, Daphne, you kind of remind me of someone I know.
Who's that? Asked Daphne.
The very first friend I've ever made, Lila Darling, Harry replied.
You're really pretty like her. You have the same kind of eyes. You know, hair is similar.
Daphne blushed.
Darling, you said. The Hufflepuff. I'm afraid I don't know her very well, but from what I gather, she's a very sweet girl, yes. Very bright, too.
She asked an eyebrow. She's Muggle-born, is she not?
Harry nodded.
Yeah, she's Muggle-born. She's uncannily gifted, though. She's more talented than many half-bloods and even pure-bloods, added Tracy. I know some Slytherins have called her a certain epithet behind her back, but they're really just jealous of her. She's a very good student. She doesn't have a bad bone in her body.
I heard Malfoy call her that name once. I made her cry just by bringing it up, said Harry, with a note of shame in his voice.
I don't even like saying the word in front of her, even if it's just a reference.
I don't like saying it either, admitted Daphne.
It's really an ugly word, and only ignorant wizards and witches use it. I may be of pure-blooded ancestry, but it's not my place to determine who should and shouldn't practice magic, you know? I'm open-minded enough to befriend, perhaps even date half-bloods or even a Muggle-born. Even among so-called pure-bloods, there tend to be gaps in the family tree.
I'm glad to see that not everyone in Slytherin thinks like the Malfoys do, replied Harry.
Thanks for giving me a few minutes of your time, you two. I'll stop by for a few minutes this evening.
Sounds good, Potter, replied Daphne. I look forward to seeing you then.
That evening, Harry told both Lila and Hermione his plan. To sit at the Slytherin table with Daphne and Tracy. He assured them that he would be fine and that he already spoke with Daphne and Tracy, who were both reasonable girls. He figured that it would be easier to come to them because they were a bit leery of visiting the Hufflepuff and especially Gryffindor tables, so he'd take one for the team and meet them at the Slytherin table. Harry was still a bit nervous, so he had hoped that Daphne and Tracy were sitting near one of their prefects so that some semblance of order could be maintained. He scanned the table and breathed a sigh of relief when he found an older girl with a prefect badge just a couple of seats away from Daphne and Tracy.
Hi, Daphne. Hi, Tracy, Harry said in a friendly tone. Mind if I sit between you two?
A couple of other Slytherin students shook their heads towards Harry in a disapproving manner.
That's fine, Potter, replied Daphne. She smiled at him. You're true to your word. I was half expecting you to stand us up.
Why would I do that? Harry asked. I did my best to keep my word.
He returned the smile.
It looks like you've got a good seat, too. You're just a couple of seats away from a prefect, so that'll be helpful.
Daphne giggled.
She's not just any prefect. She's Gemma Farley. She's a good one. She doesn't put up with gits like Malfoy and his cronies. Don't get me wrong, she's proud to be a Slytherin, but she's got a heart of gold.
Harry's face turned pink.
Do you think you could introduce me to her?
Daphne shrugged. I don't see why not. She leaned over, reached around the student to her right, and tapped Gemma on the shoulder.
Hey, Gemma, I have someone here that wants to meet you.
Gemma turned around.
Oh, hello, Daphne, who is it?
Harry stood up, stepped toward Gemma, and held out his hand.
Hi, I'm Harry Potter, he said softly.
Gemma stood up and took his hand.
I've heard of you, Harry Potter. I'm Gemma Farley. She smiled sweetly. It takes some guts for someone outside of Slytherin to visit the snake pit, but I promise not all of us bite. I'm glad to see that you're willing to look past the stereotypes and try to make new friends.
I'm not going to lie, it's a little hurtful that a lot of students outside our house lump us all together like we're all corrupted, dark practitioners of magic.
She gestured towards Daphne and Tracy.
If you want to make friends in Slytherin, you can't go wrong with those two. They're open-minded and friendly. And once you get to know them, you'll kind of forget that they're a Slytherin to begin with.
Harry whispered in Gemma's ear.
Professor McGonagall said that Daphne was very nearly a Gryffindor.
Gemma giggled.
I can see that, but I would imagine that since her whole family is in Slytherin, she probably wanted that a little more. But between you and me, she'd be a great Gryffindor, she said softly.
When dinner was over, Harry shook Gemma's hand once more.
Thanks for letting me spend a few minutes at your table this evening. I know not everyone appreciated my presence here, but you've been nothing short of kind to me, and Daphne and Tracy have been good sports. I look forward to getting to know them better.
He then shook Daphne and Tracy's hand appreciatively.
Thanks for giving me a chance, he said sincerely. I hope you'll join me and my friends at the Hufflepuff or Gryffindor table sometime. I promise you'll be treated with kindness and respect.
Tracy smiled at Harry.
We'll return the favor, Potter, we promise. And we thank you for giving us a chance. It really means a lot to us.
Daphne smiled as well.
Have a good evening, Potter. Harry, I'll see you tomorrow for sure.
Have a good evening, you two, replied Harry, smiling broadly himself.
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Fezzador. Music is The Industrious Ferret by Kevin MacLeod. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.